all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Doug Thornton. You are listening to American Vindicta. Today, obviously, we have on the great Mr. L.A. Marzulli. This is episode 106, and we're still on the America's Most Unexplained series. And we are going to be asking Mr. Marzulli today a little bit of information from his background with the very unique skulls you have in the background there, sir. And then we're going to get into something that may be coming to the light with this New Age style religion. We're going to see what LA can give to us with that. So without further ado, Mr. Marzulli, field is yours.
Hey, it's great to be here, first of all, and thanks for having me on. But, you know, you mentioned the Baraka skulls. And our team was the only team, Christian team, for one, that actually went down and, you know, we actually did the work. And it took a lot of time, a lot of effort. Mondo Gonzalez, our lead archaeologist, wrote all the paperwork, which enabled us to get permits to get all the material out. But the bottom line is the academics aren't interested in the truth. They're just not. They have a little club that they play in. And anything outside their purview, if you're not in the club, you're not in the club. And the club has strict rules. The Darwinian paradigm is sacrosanct. Supernatural, we're not going with that. So everything is evolution, evolution, evolution. And all these things are the result of cranial deformation, cradle headboarding. Well, I take umbrage with that. I take great offense in that because I know it's not. And our DNA evidence with this proved that it's not. But they don't care. They don't care about, I mean, what is the truth? I say this on my reports almost on a daily basis. What is the truth? And on our On the Trail of the Nephilim daily report, which is right on YouTube because it's YouTube friendly. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is only on Rumble because we'll get three strikes with just one episode. So we can't go there. No freedom of speech. Folks, we are living in fascist America, just in case you didn't know. And they accuse you of being the fascists, but in fact, they're the fascists. Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And I'm telling you right now, I'm digressing here. We'll get back to this bad boy in just a second. But the Bible will be declared hate speech. Okay? Prophecy, disinformation, and the second coming of Jesus, conspiracy theory. That's where we're going. And unless the church begins to stand up and push back against the tyranny that we are living under right now, as I speak, it's not something future. It's now. I never thought we'd see the day in America when talking about the Bible, you know, you can get a strike for that. If you talk about the LGBTQ ABC community and you say, biblically, we know that this is wrong. If you say that, strike one, because some little 20-year-old or 25-year-old working at YouTube, you know, with the hoops in the ears and the man bun, who's thinking about becoming transgender, doesn't like what you're saying. Bam! So, and then you never see your accuser, do you? Never see your accuser. One more thing. We were deplatformed on Vimeo for basically the same thing. And the little weasels held $14,000 of our earnings. Okay? 14 grand. I had to lawyer up, and we were ready to take them to court. They paid up. That's how the game is played. Welcome to America with a K, 2022. Now, that happened way back in 2019 is when I was deplatformed off of Vimeo. And that's how the game is played. And the churches need to understand, well, they're not coming for me, LA. Yeah, they'll come for you because they're coming for me and guys like you, Doug, but they're coming for me. And I've already been deplatformed and I've played the game with YouTube because I don't want to lose my sponsors. We have 150,000 people there. So I digress. Bottom line is this. Cranial deformation is when they take a skull, the child, and they bind the skull of the child, the head of a child, and they can shape it. I get that. But you can't do this. Can't do this. And in the film, which is available, shameless plug, on streaming.lamarzulli.net, you go to number 6. It's the DNA, the final results. Check that out. If you're interested at all in this, you know, we don't have time to get into that. It's an hour film for crying out loud. Let's go over it. First of all, look at the sockets. Look at the eye sockets right here. they are 25 to 30% larger than a human being. The pupillary distance, the distance between the pupils, is about 45 millimeters versus what should be 65. Look at the large, the incredible large frontal plate next to mine.
Is that thickened as well? Is it as thick as the human front part of the skull?
That's a really good question. I don't know. This is a replica. So I possibly, but just look.
Yeah. See, whenever I looked at that at the here at the Watchman conference, now I have big monstrous hands, wear double XL gloves, but it felt childlike. It felt so small in my hands, which would make me consider that they are also small in stature.
They are. No, they're not giants. And we'll get into that after I go over this. So look at the large frontal plate. These are sutures right here. This is a suture. All right. This suture, everyone has, all human beings have sutures. It's what stitches the plates and the skull together. Well, it should have what's called a sagittal suture, which should go from here all the way back. It's not. You can look at it. There's not even a vestige of it. There's the occipital plate in the back. It should go from the front all the way back here. It's not there. Look at it. Not even a trace of it. So this is a genetic aberration. The eye sockets, genetic aberration. Lack of sagittal suture, genetic aberration. The next point I'm going to make is by our anthropologist, our team's anthropologist, Rick Woodward. And this is the smoking gun. So these anthropologists and archaeologists and all these people can stand up and yada, yada, yada all day long. But this is what you cannot do. This is the foramen magnum right here. Right here is the foramen magnum. This white area around it is created by Joe Taylor. This is a model. This is a mold. So this is where the mold, he put the clay in here to hold a dowel. That's what this is for. So this is something that's not part of the skull. But the foramen magnum is right here. You can see it. I'm tracing it. That's the exterior of the foramen magnum. The foramen magnum on this skull, there you go. If it's any further to the rear, it's outside the skull. That's not normal. That's genetic. And it should be here. That foramen magnum should be right here in the center of a skull. You can cradle board a child all day long. You're not going to move the foramen magnum because you can't get to it. You can't get to it. You can't move it. So we think that these creatures, it would look like this. We think there was that the spinal column, which attaches to the foramen magnum, was more than likely, the neck area was more than likely much longer. One of the Nephilim tribes in the Levant 3,500 years ago, when Joshua and Caleb pushed the conquest of the Promised Land, they're called the Horites, cave dwellers. We went with Tim Alberino and an archaeologist, I can't remember the guy's name. We went into the reserve in Peru, outside Paracas. You can't get in there. You got to have permits and all this stuff. But because the archaeologist had all that going, we got in there. He took us to the remnants of 3,000 years ago when the Paracas people lived. They lived underground. They lived underground. Why would you do that? And I asked the archaeologist, was there evidence of torchlight or anything like that? He goes, no. So I took the skull, I took this to an optometrist. He looked at it and he said 25 to 30% larger eye sockets. And the fact that the pupillary distance is narrower means that more than likely they had night vision capabilities. Horites, and that's why they could live underground. Now, no one else has done that. We broke that story. The archaeologists in Peru know nothing about it. They've never taken the skull that I know of to an optometrist. It's always cranial deformation. We boarded up the kids. Nonsense. We know that some things happen like that, but not this bad boy. No way. This is not the result of cranial deformation. I'll stake my reputation on it. And we've had in the film, which is number 6, DNA, the final result. We have archaeologists, anthropologists. We have medical doctors, surgeons, optometrists, chiropractors. I mean, a whole bevy, multidisciplined people with no axe to grind. I remember one doctor, I handed him this, was up all night thinking about it. And he's on camera and he goes, L.A., whatever this is, I'm convinced it's not human. So what do you do with that? Well, it goes against the existing paradigm. It goes against the Darwinian paradigm. It supports my paradigm, which I believe these are one of the remnants of the Nephilim tribes. They all weren't giants. Not all of them were giants. There were different genetic differences in all of them. Just like switching over to the modern day UFO phenomena, right? Where you've got people who were abducted. Let me throw this in the back here. People who were abducted. If I don't stand up, I might drop it. People who were abducted years ago and taken to the ships report seeing human alien hybrids. Now, when I say hybrids, I don't believe from Zeta Reticuli. These are interdimensional entities or fallen angels. As in the days of Noah, so it will be when the Son of Man returns. They will mingle their seed with men, but will not cleave to them. I mean, you know, it's all over the place in the Bible. But unless you understand Genesis 3:15, then we don't have an understanding of what's going on. Genesis 3:15, their seed, whose seed? The seed of a dragon will be at enmity at war with the seed, the offspring of the woman. The offspring, the seed of a dragon, will be at war at enmity with the offspring of the woman. He, the coming Messiah, will crush the dragon's head. That sets up the rest of the biblical prophetic narrative. And unless we come to an understanding of Genesis 3:15, when we get to Daniel or Noah's flood or a Tower of Babel or Abraham and the kings or Sodom and Gomorrah or the conquest of the Holy Land, we're sitting there scratching our heads going like, whoa, I don't get this at all. And you won't. And then when you get to the Daniel, their seed will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not cleave to them. It's talking about the latter days. It'll be like the days of Noah. What differentiates the days of Noah? The watcher angels cohabiting, taking wives, and it'll be similar. So they're not taking wives anymore. They're just doing this genetic experimentation. So circling back to people on the ships, in the 90s, they reported seeing these hybrid children that look sick, stringy hair. They look more alien than they did human. Well, that changed. It then went into the black-eyed kids. They were children, but they weren't children. They were stunted, and their eyes were jet black. Now it moves into the hybrids, hybrid humans, and they can pass, and that's where we are today. So, look, folks, it's the days of Noah. We're here. The beast system is almost upon us. We can see it ramping up, and I find the times we live in incredibly alarming.
Speaking of the beast system, you know what Austin and Austin, Texas, and Seattle are doing. Thanks to Amazon, people are now being allowed to pay by their palm signature.
Yeah, it's all, you know, if you can't see, the thing is, most people have no idea because they've never read the Bible.
Oh, yeah, I read the Bible. Yeah.
Well, excuse me, sir, when did you read the Bible?
Well, you know, when I was in Sunday school.
Well, have you ever actually studied the Bible?
Well, no.
Then how can you possibly weigh in on it? I mean, I've got relatives, you know, that think they know, but they don't know. And I've met people, and I'll just ask them, you know, have you actually sat down and read this? Have you studied it? Have you looked at it? It is God's word. And what's in here, what's in the pages of this Bible, is the truth. You want the truth? Here's the truth right here, from Genesis to Revelation. End of story. And yet, most people won't open it. And then if you do open it and you're not spirit-filled, good luck with that. If you're not spirit-filled, because in order to understand this, a person has to be filled with the spirit of a living God. Otherwise, you won't. You'll go, this is really boring. I don't understand it. Now I can spend a month in one chapter and memorize it and go over and over and over and over. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit will reveal things and tie that passage of scripture with other scriptures. And you can't, you know, you try to explain that to someone who's not born again and saved, and they look at you like you got three heads. What's so fascinating about this? Because it tells us, it's the guidebook of the supernatural. It tells us where we are, how we got here, what's going on, who we're up against, who's our enemy, that we serve a supernatural God, but we also have a supernatural enemy, the dragon. And it tells us how to prepare for that, how to put on the armor of God on a daily basis, how to walk in truth, how to fight with the sword of the spirit, that, you know, the battle belongs to the Lord. I mean, all these weapons that we have, most people are ignorant of it, totally ignorant of it.
Yeah, they believe in carnal weapons.
Yeah, which will work for a human foe.
Yeah, they work for a while. But I still find that faith is stronger. Here's a question I have for the skull part. Did your anthropologists, I love the fact that you took to an optometrist. Did you or your anthropologists take any dental records to see if the dental formations are the same, canine placements, eye teeth placements are the same?
They're not.
So that's an abnormality.
It's not in the film, but they don't have the canines as we do. I mean, let me get the skull again. I'll show you what I mean.
Yeah, because for the skeptics that are out there, and like okay, I said,
right there, yep. No canine. See it? Mm-hmm. It should be, the canine should be right about.
It's almost as if the mandible also like protrudes out a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's a really good point. But, it's horrible dental work, but there are no canines. No canines. Thank you. They should be right here. Yeah, see? Yeah.
Because the average skeptic that's out there is going to say, well, it's cradle headboarding or it's a mutation.
Yeah, but it is a genetic mutation.
Within your studies, did the anthropologists ever find anything historically based that they can say, here's a similarity that it could be an extreme mutation or this is just a complete one-off? Because I seen it, I held it. And it's not human. It's just not. It's not normal. It's weird.
And that's what cracks me up. The way, for instance, there's and I'll call these guys, to the carpet. There's a museum, the Museum of Osteology. It's in Oklahoma. They don't like me. I was there once, and I took them to task, and they didn't like what I have to say. So I'm persona non grata there. They've got a skull with a metal plate in it. And I told him, I said, you need to let me come in because I can tell you in about 30 seconds whether that's human or not. And I offered $1,000 just to examine it. They're not interested in it. No, they didn't care less because they have a paradigm in the pole. It's just like the goofy archaeologist who I go, well, what about this medical doctor from the early part of the 20th century who measured a 9-footer or a 10-footer or a 12-footer? And a tenured professor in archaeology at a major university said this to me. Well, the doctor just didn't know how to measure. They have an agenda, man. There is a hidden history that's been deliberately obfuscated from the peoples of the world. Yeah, I'm not making this stuff up.
Yeah, there's a narrative out there. And, like I was telling you prior, my love of history is the reason why I wanted to be a history teacher. But obviously with today's politics, there's no way this guy could sit in a classroom and teach honest history. But history is coming back. And as Mark Twain says, it does rhyme occasionally. And I think, and some others out there, maybe you agree, that the things that we found in archaeological digs, especially at all these very strange sites where you have the hieroglyphs and the petroglyphs that are out there, all these creatures that are, drawn by ancestors 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, talked about for 3,000 or 4,000 of years, even through the Native Americans, the Sumerians, everywhere around the world, everywhere. It's being brought back to modern day. And I feel, and there's a few others out there, that it's going to be part of a deception. We're going to use archaeological findings and science, and we are going to prove a ethnic link of people from the past to the future and to say, here they are, and they came back and visited, and they are the true bringers of the word, right? These are the true word bearers that we need to be listening to. They, in fact, Christ is one of them, This exactly. is the nonsense that people get into, and, L.A., even out there in California, you have some real crazies. Heaven's Gate cult and the other cults that are out there that are honestly believing that during the end of times, the aliens are going to come back. We're all going to save ourselves. To me, it's worrisome because there are plenty of Christians who fall within the snares trap. There are plenty of Christians who are not, I guess you could say washing their minds with the Holy Spirit. They're just soaking themselves into the depths of filth through all the bullcrap science that's out there, like the ancient aliens, and they believe this stuff. They believe it to the extent that they, it's, you know, if you want to believe it, I don't care. It's fine, but you won't allow any other details of evidence to come in. That's when it becomes dangerous. It's no longer a belief system. It's a cult.
It's a religion. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be speaking at a UFO conference, UFO Disclosure Symposium. It's in May. I think it's the 26th, 27th, something like that. But it's Vernal, Utah. And I'm the only Christian presenter. I'm not, you know, I'm kind of pushed back till Sunday. I don't speak till Sunday, right after Jaime Maussan in the morning, which is fine. I'm on a couple of panels. They're revealing some never before seen UFO footage. I'll be anxious to see that. And I got to go because I'm going to present. There's only two paradigms. One is extraterrestrial. The other, it's interdimensional. Jacques Vallée quotes that in his opinion, and I agree with him, of course, that the phenomenon is more demonological than it is extraterrestrial. And what we are looking at is the advent of the Watcher Angels coming back. And you're right. Everything is poised. Everything is poised. When they finally show up, and I've been saying this, you know, you can go back for 10 years. When they show up, they'll tell us that they created all life on this planet. They genetically manipulated early man. They jump-started the world's civilizations, technology-wise, and they started the world's religions. Now, at this critical juncture, they, so-called ET, are back to usher mankind into a golden age. Oh, and by the way, you've got this little implant which you can put on the back of your hand or on your forehead, which will extend your lifespan 300 to 500 years disease-free. The line for that will go around the block. And, oh, we've got free energy. Our energy, which pilots the crafts, it's free, and we'll give it to you guys. Welcome to the Galactic Federation. That is the coming great deception. I have a free film on YouTube. If you go to any of my shows on YouTube, it's L.A. Marzulli, and you open up the text box right below the video. There's a text box. Open that up where it says show more, click show more, scroll down a little bit, free UFO film. There's the link. UFO Disclosure, The Coming Great Deception, and The Luciferian Endgame. This is where we are. This is The Coming Great Deception. I talked about it. The second installment in the UFO film is, I'm looking right at it on my edit desk over there. So it's definitely happening, and I'm excited about that. We'll try to release it by the end of the month, if not very soon. We're just polishing it up. So it's really close. And then 3, 4, and 5 follows it. So it's at least a five-part series, at least a five-part series.
What do you think about the disclosure of ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, and the newest, I guess you could say the newest enlightenings on the alien topic, where now the Pentagon is saying that some people who women yeah. who have been involved with the abductions have became pregnant. Why? And as a guy who worked for the government for 14 years, I've never seen any of this ever happen before in my government. It's always been very cut and dry. Here's A to B. Here's the beginning of the investigation. Here's the end of the investigation. Leave all the stories out. I only want facts. That's the way I was trained. So with what we're doing now, in the Pentagon, of all places, the Pentagram is leading it. I think it's interesting that they would talk about the visitation between the woman and the entity. You want to speak on that?
Yeah, that's one of the rungs of the disclosure ladder. The first rung of that ladder is 2017. Commander David Faber appears on Tucker Carlson's show. And Tucker asks him, what do you think this tic-tac-shaped object was that shot away like a bullet out of a gun? And Faber looked right at the camera. Whatever this is not of this earth, not from this earth, not of this earth. That's rung number one. Number two, Luis Elizondo, rung number two, appears once again on Tucker Carlson. We have in our possession, says Mr. Elizondo, metal from crashed UFOs, rung number two. Rung number three, Christopher Mellon, former agency guy, appears on Tucker, but also CNN and made all the rounds, and basically says, yeah, we tested the metal. It has isotopes not found on this earth. The church snoozes. No one says anything. This is normal. No, this is disclosure being rolled out rung by rung by rung by rung, and up the ladder we go. Number four, the Pentagon declares that it has in their possession off-world vehicles not made on this earth. Oh, pray tell, who's making them and who's piloting these things? Right? When I saw that, I would go, that's it. Phone's going to ring. Email, oh my gosh, this is an avalanche. Flatlined.
Yeah.
Flatlined.
People are welcoming it to the point that they are falling asleep to it.
Well, the church needs to wake up, because this is the coming great deception. Rung number five, of course, is the goofy 9-page report from the Pentagon. So we've got a 1,000-page report on the effect of bovine flatulence on greenhouse gases. 1,000 pages, but for UFOs, right? Which is the greatest, almost the greatest revelation in all of human history, right? 9 pages. Out of the 143 sightings, which they discovered, 142, they couldn't figure out what they were. They know exactly what they are. They've been in communication with them for decades. Once again, it's a typical government two-step, little tap dance routine there. So that's rung number five. Rung number six is, this is really interesting, is when once again, NASA reaches out to the priests, the Vatican, whatever, trying to get, well, you know, we need to figure out if ET shows up, how this is going to impact religion. It's like, you got to be kidding me, right? And this is all broadcast out and revealed. It's another rung on the ladder. Nobody does doodly squat. Number seven, rather, is what you just referred to, where the Freedom of Information Act, FOIA, was released. And in that document, it talked about women being impregnated by aliens when they're abducted. Welcome to my wheelhouse. Welcome to my world. We have people that we've talked to. That's why you got to read the book. You got to see the free video. It's all there, folks.
Don't good interviews. It's good interviews on there, too.
Thank you. And here's the deal. This is my wheelhouse. I've been banging this drum professionally for 30 years. I've studied it since I was a kid, since I was 12, and had my first encounter. I've only had three. Never been taken. Don't want to be taken. Thank you very much. So that's the seventh rung. The eighth rung on the ladder happened on Tucker Carlson last weekend when he had the two butchers talking about cattle mutilations. Ha ha! I'm not making this up. And we ran with that story either Monday or Wednesday, I forget which. The butchers are saying that you can't do this. This is the work of highly trained professionals. And it opens up the nefarious dark world, the dark underbelly of the whole UFO phenomenon, which is incredibly nefarious.
So I have something to add to the cattle mutilation thing. Me and Tim Alberino talked about this on our last interview. And we had a cattle mutilation in our back pasture.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
So, and, you know, people may or may not know who I am within my area, but for it to happen to the one DHS guy's pasture, come on, it's kind of interesting. And within this area, we have seen orbs. I don't know how else to explain that. We've seen orbs. We've seen things we can't explain. The area that I live in, and I'm not crazy. I'm a very cut and dry kind of person. I'm a shoot and reload kind of guy. That's my frame of mind. We live on a smaller version of a Skinwalker Ranch. We have a lot of things that happen around here. A lot of it's based off of First Nations people's massacres that happen around here and a lot of other stuff. I do my research, and my county that I live in is the supposed most paranormal reported hotspot within all of Texas. Within 25 miles from me is Lockheed Martin at the Joint Reserve Base in Fort Worth. So there are things out there, but then there's a cattle mutilation. So being that I am at that point in time, someone who's current federal law enforcement, I told my family when they called, let me know. I said, nobody go near it. Nobody touch it. Let me go out there. I went out there, LA. The first thing I looked for was footprints. I want to see if there's any animals that could have taken that down. There's nothing. So then we take the animal and we move it away from a fence line, and it was in the shade, so it didn't die because it was hot. It pulled it into the shade, or pulled it out into the open part of the pasture. And by the way, within 30 minutes of this reported death of the cow, it had been fed and watered. So it wasn't from, you know, starvation or dehydration. So I'm reviewing it. I'm looking at it. I'm doing my own little investigation into this. And what is missing? The ear is missing. Perfect circle. I have it on the phone. Actually, the cattle mutilations episode for the UFO special that I did, I actually showed the pictures on there. It would appear that somebody with either a laser knife or a hot knife cut and cauterized on the way out. Not a straight cut, but a diagonal all the way around. That's very hard to do. I'm someone who grew up butchering animals, you know, between hogs and deer. So I understand what butchering and the process of that is. But the next part was the genitals were removed.
Yeah.
Oh, and this is a young steer, probably about 700 to 800 pounds. So it's also ensanguinated, no blood. Now, not saying that all the blood came down into the body cavity and collected. We did a carcass evaluation on it. A friend of mine is a veterinarian for cattle. He came out, we did a carcass evaluation on it. No blood.
No blood.
No blood. No impact, no abrasions, no lacerations. You know, the eyes weren't bulging out. The tongue wasn't blue. The tongue was still in the mouth. But immediately, one of the things that I noticed about it was that it just gave off this aura of fear within the area. And that's something that's part of this phenomena, is this element of fear. Now, this happened in broad daylight, about 3 hours before the sun would set. Out in the pasture, no neighbors. So the explanations that were given to me was either A, it was witchcraft, and somebody hocus-pocus themselves all the way over to it and cast a little spell or hit it with a tranquilizer dart, knocked it down, had a manual exsanguinator, pulled all the blood out, cut everything up, and left. Yeah, I doubt that.
Not buying that, yeah.
Yeah, not buying it. So the other part, UFO, right? And we can get into that in a thousand different ways, but I called the sheriff's department because I want to do my due diligence and report it. Just in case, my family's part of the Cattlemen's Association of America, so I want to report the death of this cow. The sheriff's department comes out, L.A. The detective, who is somewhere between inept and stupid, looked at me in my face and said, "Silver Fox did it." And I'm looking at this guy. Said, "Excuse me, you know who I work for. I know who you work for. We're both professionals here. Look me in the face and then tell me again that something the size of a cat took down a 700-pound steer." And he said, "Yep, ate the ear, and you know, you'll probably find remnants of it somewhere across the field." So there are no remnants across the field. There are no footprints. There's no abrasion, no laceration. There's no fractures. There's no blood leaking out of any orifice. And he said, "No, most likely that's it." Turned around quickly and walked off.
Yeah, they're told how to deal with it, and that's how they deal with it, because they've been dealing with it for decades, and they realize that, you know, they're spinning their wheel. They know exactly what it is, but they're trained to say, you know, it's this, it's a predator, it's blah blah blah. It's just like with the elongated skulls. You know, the archaeologists, "Oh, it's cranial deformation, it's cranial headboard." No, it's not. Quit lying to us. We're tired of it. Quit lying to us. You're a bunch of freaking weasels, you know? No, that's a classic cattle mutilation on your property. No doubt in my mind from what you've said. It is UFO related. They use the parts that they take in the hybridization, because they're raising an army, and they use them to create the hybrids. The blood is used in when they take the baby, from the womb, which is usually done in the first 3 months of pregnancy, usually, sometimes even earlier, but very early in the pregnancy. They'll reabduct the woman, take the child out. She wakes up in the morning. She's got screen memories. She's not sure what she's looking at. She just knows that the baby's not there. She goes back to the OBGYN. He scratches his head going, "Well, we know it was there. Are you sure you didn't miscarry?" "No, I didn't miscarry," blah, blah, blah. So it becomes mysterious. And of course, the woman is trying to figure out what's going on. She's got screen memories. Maybe she doesn't realize she's been abducted. Maybe she knows she's been abducted. Maybe she realizes, in the rare case, that they took it. And so the blood is used to incubate that baby, that hybrid entity, in a glass or some kind of a jar-like structure, an artificial womb, as it were. Welcome to the Matrix. We interviewed a woman recently. In fact, here at the Watchman Conference, it was worth the price in labor to bring all of our camera equipment down. It was riveting, visceral. She'll be in an upcoming show that we're doing. Absolutely visceral, just unbelievable. She talks about being taken as a young girl all through her teenage years into early adulthood. She was impregnated 3 different times, and they took it 3 different times. Later on, when she was remarried and with a new husband, and she's now born again, spirit-filled, they appeared, all 3 kids, all 3 hybrids, appeared in her room one night. Of course, the husband switched off. He didn't see anything, but she did. She did, and she knew instantly, these are my children. She instantly, as only a mother could. And they looked at her with such vile hatred because they're not human. They're soulless. They're part of the dragon's army. And look, I'm not making this stuff up. I mean, I wish, you know, this is the deal. When I was talking about this stuff 20 years ago, you know, people would give me the eyeball roll. Okay. Well, we're on the 8th rung of the disclosure ladder. No more eyeball rolls, folks. You know, no more, well, LA, no, we're not doing that, because it's being rolled out. It's time to wake up, time to pay attention. I'm a watchman. I'm one of the tips of the spears. Alberino is another one. There are others. There's a few of us out here banging the drum, but not many. The church needs to wake up and understand this is the coming great deception, and that when they show up, everything changes instantaneously. Boom, just like that.
So these are the comments that I get a lot of times with the abduction scenario. How does a Christian explain being abducted, but they are saved and protected under the blood of Christ?
That's a very complex question, and it depends who you talk to. Tim Alberino, Timmy and I are good friends. It's a good guy. And I was on a show a couple of weeks back, and we got like 120,000 hits or something stupid like that, right? So Tim said, he used the analogy of those poor Christians on the shore of the Mediterranean had their throat cuts by ISIS. They were praying and nothing happened. No angels showed up and spared their lives. It's not either or. It's not cut and dry. It's both and. I've talked to Christians who have stopped their abductions by saying in the name of Jesus. I talked to one elder who was being levitated off the bed, headed to the wall. He cried out to the Lord, and boom, like a rubber band coming back, they stopped the abduction like that. Al Matthews, who became a Christian, he's the centerpiece of our film, of our UFO film. Al Matthews is in there. And once he became born again and spirit-filled, he stopped it. Then there are the people, and, you know, it doesn't stop it. But I believe if it doesn't stop it, there's a door open there somewhere. So they can say, yeah, I'm born again, spirit-filled, but I'm watching 4 hours of pornography every day, or I'm dabbling in drugs, or, you know what, I'm off in the ozone with another woman that no one knows going on, whatever it is. There's always an open door, always an open door, because we do have, you know, but it's complex and it's case by case. But ISIS is not supernatural. And there are instances where missionaries cry out and angels do show up. We know of that. Okay. So it's a very complex mixed bag. And whenever we deal with the supernatural, it's sloppy. There's no doubt about it. Yep. You know, and what seems to be cut and dry is not so cut and dry. I mean, just look at, what is it, when it's Nahum comes to, is it Elijah or Elisha? I think it's Elisha, right? It's not Elijah. It's the next one.
Yeah.
Elisha, oh. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and Gehazi, you know, he tells Nahum to go down and, you know, bathe, dip yourself 7 times in the water. And it's like, what? That's crazy, right? That's not so stuff. It really is. But he emerges and he's healed. Well, why can't he just say, hey, be healed, like Jesus does? Why does Jesus spit into the dirt and mix this up and put it on the blind man's eyes? I mean, you know, anytime we deal with the supernatural, it's not cut and dry. it can be incredibly sloppy, like the prophet telling, you know, Nahum, go bathe seven times, like Jesus spitting in the clay and then rubbing. Imagine if you did that today, what would happen? I mean, are you kidding me, right? But that's what it is. It's like, you know, Philip running up against the chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch and going, hey, man, this is the deal. And then he's transported to another town. Whoa, how does that work? It's not what we think it is. And it can, you know, if we actually engage, and I've seen this, and if things really start to open up in a church, every demon possessed person within 50 miles makes a beeline to your church to try to shut it down. Try to shut it down. So look, all this to say that we have a supernatural loving God, that everything is not so cut and dry, that we don't know all the protocols of what we're dealing with. It's complex. There's no cut and dry answer. But in my opinion, when a man or a woman evokes the name of Jesus in a supernatural setting like that, power is released.
I agree with you. And, you know, I've read a lot of the reports where people were saying that. And I've also read the reports where people were saying, you know, I'm a Christian, but I cried out and nothing happened. I was still taken and abused. We live in a very gray world.
Yeah, we do.
Being that we are, you know, we're carnal in nature, but we are spirit filled. We live in this gray world. We interact with things we can't explain. Even physics can explain half of that. And the other half, it's mystery. It's spooky. You know, if you just take a gander in the Bible and you look at somebody who says, oh, well, I don't like you. I'm not coming to heal your king. And may a lava fall from the sky and consume you in your 50. Well, people laugh like, oh, this is just creative writing, until the Antichrist and the false prophet do it. You know, but you'll either be surprised on that day or you'll be surprised on that day. You know, and as Christians, we have to be able to live within the supernatural world, but not be so consumed by the nonsense that you can't, that you see the boogeyman behind every shadow, you know, that you're constantly in a threat, encapsulated in fear. And I have people who email me all the time. Hey, I got my guns. I'm ready to go fight. You guys are all a bunch of, you know, mouth breathers. Let's stop talking. Let's go take our country back. Like, if you want to go January 6th yourself, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to do that.
Yeah, the country is going the direction God intends it. You can't stop that.
And you know what?
Yeah, you can prepare, but you can't fix the country.
You can't stop it. And maybe this is, you know, part of me wonders whether the country splits, and I've written about this and talked about it. You know, what is anyone in Washington State have with people in West Texas? You tell me.
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So you've got the country could split apart along geopolitical lines. You'd have a Northeast, Central, Mid-Atlantic states, the South, that whole deal from the Carolinas all the way down. Then you get Texas, Missouri, Oklahoma, because Oklahoma is northern Texas. We all know that. Then moving on, you know, you've got some of the Midwest on top of that. Then you've got the West, where you've got the Four Corners, Colorado, New Mexico, all that area. Then you've got California, Oregon, and Washington, that becomes possibly another. So you got like 6, 7, 8 of them. The country could fracture. I mean, we're seeing things that we never thought we'd see. Governor Abbott, I stand up and say bully for him every day. The 8th bus of illegal aliens arrived in Washington. It's just genius. And he's not going to tolerate it. DeSantis pushing back against the goofy, you know, transgender ideology in Disney. I spoke to someone who used to be a Disney employee. He worked for Disney for a number of years and he got out. He's a Christian. He told me some stories, make your head spin. Everything that we know about it and hear about it, it's all true. There's an agenda, and that agenda is to usurp. Look, the head of the teachers union is screaming and yelling about parental rights. You lady, you shut up. Okay. And what more people need to start doing is homeschooling our kids. And we need Christian universities to come on board. Enough of this nonsense. Enough of it. I've had it up to here. And so have a lot of you that are watching this. It's time for, you know, billionaires who are a Christian or millionaires to pull some of their monies together. Let's make some real hard, fast Christian universities. Not like Goofy Pepperdine, which says they're Christian, but they're really not, you know. And look what happened to Falwell and all that mess. It's got to have some accountability. It's got to be a solid Christian university, just like Yale and Harvard were when they got started. And now they're bastions of liberalism and communism.
Skull and bones.
Yeah, yeah, skull and bones. So we need to take it back. And I don't know how that's going to work. We're not going to get guns and go do it. That's not going to, never going to happen.
No, that's what they want you to do.
That's what they want us to do, and that's January 6th.
Yeah, the Democrats always play upon the heartstrings, and conservatives, for the most part, I can't speak for everybody, I want cold hard facts. If you can't prove it in court, leave it outside. You know, I don't want your personal opinion. I don't want emotional heartstrings. Oh, look at the poor leaves that are dying. Leaves die. You know, it doesn't mean the entire world needs to have the power yanked and then everybody die. But we have a state of psychosis within this country, within the world.
Yeah, I agree.
And because of that, LA, let's talk about this final topic. The world wars that are coming, potential civil war in America. The whole world is not only lying with the evil one, but is about to go through a giant economic collapse. They're already telling you that the food's about to go away. Look at how many different food processing plants are going down. General Mills, just yesterday, a plane randomly flies into it. No, there's an agenda. There's a narrative that's being wrote, and it is event-driven. What's the next series of events once we start to hurl nukes at each other? Is that when something appears in the sky as the new religious saviors?
Yeah, the late David Flynn posited that years and years ago. He believed that there was going to be some sort of a nuclear event and that would trigger them. And that's frankly what I believe. And the fact that Putin has actually put nukes on the table and saber rattling that way. The fact that Iranians have already said, you know, I mean, it's just amazing. If they get a nuke, the first thing they'll do is try to bomb Tel Aviv. I mean, are you kidding me? The Israelis know that they can never get the nuke. The Israeli government is a joke right now. It is. They're looking at re-election soon. And because this administration, you know, they don't know how to protect their own people in Israel, just like our administration, the current administration, is letting how many thousands of illegals, which will just completely ruin the country. Well, that's a racist statement. No, it isn't. Why don't we get busloads of white people and go to Mexico and say, hey, we want to live here. You know, we'd be in the Juzgado in 5 minutes and deported. Are you kidding me? So.
Well, With everything coming across the border from my years of being on the border, whatever is reported times it by three.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah I mean, this is, you know, people talk about, well, the white people don't like the browning of America. No, it has nothing to do with your color of your skin. It has to do with the fact that we're footing the bill, the taxpayers footing the bill for all the emergency services and Biden, goofy Biden administration talking about giving illegals $250,000 each. Heck, I'll go down and come across the border with that. You know, if you give it to me, thank you. Meanwhile, our brother and treasure, those who are coming back from war-torn Afghanistan, which again, and here's something to think about. And I'll be talking about this at the Prophecy Watchers conference coming up, folks. Go to prophecywatchers.com. That's the gathering of our tribe. I won't be talking about it at the UFO conference. We'll be talking about it here. If dustification is true, if Dr. Judy Wood's assessment of the Twin Towers coming down is true, and I believe it is, that we're looking at some sort of a high-energy weapon which was used on the towers, which turned them into dust because there was a layer of dust 6 inches deep all around there. Metal buildings, that's not the way they collapse. Sorry. Glass buildings and metal, sorry, doesn't work that way. Drywall just doesn't disintegrate. Don't believe me? Let's drop the drywall from 1,000 feet and see what happens on the way down. When it hits, it's going to explode, but it's not going to turn into dust. You can see the pictures of the towers mushrooming into total dust. You can see it, entire sections turning to dust right before your eyes. And then Building 7 collapses, boom, free fall speed. If planes did not hit the towers and the terrorists weren't there, there are no terrorists, then Afghanistan and Iraq and the Homeland Security are all bogus. It's a managed agenda. All of our TSA pat-downs, a managed agenda. It doesn't need to be there. Thank you very much. It's a false narrative. And like lemmings, we all followed it. And I did too. I believed the official narrative until I saw Building 7 collapse. what, 5 years later? And I just went, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute.
By the time I had learned half of that, I was already fighting in Fallujah and in Ramadi. So it's the, you know, part of my whole mission statement is to get guys like me and bring this type of information to them, because guys like me doing the jobs I used to are the ones that typically scare everybody. Those are the ones who come and visit you. So the goal is to wake people up, because someday they're going to be given a moral, ethical decision. You either align with this agenda and you go right against these people,
right,
or you leave your precious, pensions and retirements. Hey guys, there's other things you can do. Look at me. There's other things that you can do for money, and you go stand with everyone else over here. Just like within the Nuremberg trial, how many people were, hung or shot because of it, from the military to the journalists to the nurses. The problem is we have a runaway government. We don't have runaway greenhouse.
Completely runaway.
We have a runaway government.
Yeah.
And I believe you, though. I think that the Catholic Church, the Pope, is going to play a major role with disclosure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It already is.
Yeah, it's going to be to the point where we're ready to kill each other. And then whatever appears. We got about 7 minutes. If you want to close out with that, I'll shut up and let you talk about it.
Well, look, first of all, it's great to be here, and I'd love to come back on the show.
Yes, sir.
Great, talking with like-minded individuals about all this. We are in the days of chaos, which is a book I wrote, no doubt about it. The Matthew 24, Luke 21 discourse where Jesus talks about when you see these things begin to happen, well, they're all happening. Wars and rumors of war, check. Isn't it interesting, under Trump, no new wars, gas prices historic low, unemployment historic low, prosperity everywhere, nobody's doing anything. The Iranians realize, new sheriff of town, you better shut up and sit down. Because the goofy mullah said, what can you do? What can you do to us? We just bombed your embassy. What can you do? You can do nothing. Oh, yeah? Trump showed him. We took out Soleimani. So, and, of course, the goofy mustache, Bowman wanted to go and start war in Iran, and that's why he got fired from Trump. Get out of here with that stuff. We're not doing that. Not bringing our blood and treasure into Iran. So the bottom line is this, folks. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, that's next. Because COVID has shut down so much, and there are going to be food shortages. It's already happening in China. They shut down Shanghai. People are starving to death there, okay? Not making this up. So wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence. Who would have ever imagined that we'd be COVID lockdowns 10 years ago? Not on anybody's radar. And I remember stating at the conferences, lecturing about this days of chaos, I said, all this can change like that. Guess what has changed? So wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. Happens every day on my email. Another earthquake. Volcanic activity through the roof. It's all firing. And then Jesus says something, and I realize a lot of people don't want to get into this because there's been a lot of false rapture dates and all that. I'm not an escapist. I work my rear end off here every day. I do two shows a day. I'm working on UFO films. I'm working on a new book. I do On the Trail films. I mean, are you kidding me, right? And I'm not an escapist. But Jesus says two things. You have two discourses. You've got the Matthew discourse, Matthew 24, you got Luke 21. They're different. One says, when you see these things, talking to the Jews, flee to the mountains. Pray that it's not in winter. Pray that you're not pregnant. That's to the Jews. The other one is to the church. And we can say what you want and tap dance around it. But in my opinion, it's very clear. When you see these things begin to happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that to me is huge, because he's talking about one event. It doesn't say, build a bunker, start doing this. It says, look up, because we're going to be taken out. The true church, those of us who are looking for his coming, I'm one of them, right? Can't wait, because everything changes when the rider on the white horse comes back, Revelation 19, and the armies of heaven rode with him on white horses, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword, which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God. And on his robe, I thought I could get through it without tearing up. On his robe and on his thigh is written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's coming. That's what I believe in. I was there for 3 seconds, 42 years ago, as a new Christian. I was there on a white horse and I had no idea where I was. 3 seconds. That's my hope. That's my blessed hope. And that's our King. And that's going to change everything. And we had 1,000 years of the reign. And then, unfortunately, he lets the goon out. And that's the end of it. So, sorry about that, folks. It just, it's visceral for me. It's just real visceral.
LA, we got 30 seconds left. I just want to say that this has been fantastic. I hope you do decide to come on a few
more
times.
Oh, I love you. Absolutely.
We should have recorded the political stuff, but we'll have to do that next time.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
And can you please let everyone know where they can find your material?
LAMarzulli.net is that's the main website. On the Trail with LA. That's the On the Trail of Benevolent Stuff. On the Trail with LA, YouTube, LA Marzulli, Rumble, LA Marzulli, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural Report. There's tons of information. The free film on YouTube, LA Marzulli. Open up the chat box or the text box, rather, not chat, text box, right below any video. Scroll down, free UFO film, boom, there it is. Part two is coming. That'll be free. But part 3, 4, and 5, you're going to have to pay for.
Yep. You pay for good work. Hey, LA, thank you for the hard work that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
People don't really appreciate just how dirty you got to get your hands to get some of this information at times. And I appreciate it. And so do the fans. And that's what I am. I'm a fan and I'm just trying to give everyone else a voice to pick your brain and hear from you. So thank you, sir. God bless you and what you've been
God
doing.
God bless you.
And
many blessings.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, my name's Doug Thornton. You've been listening to me and LA Marzulli. This is American Vindicta. We're out of here. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.